Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
at... An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
And good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, Truth Straight Up, with me, Julie Hayden, and Chuck Bonniewell. Actually, Chuck won't be here today. He had another appointment. This is the week they wrap up the newspaper. He had another appointment he had to handle. The show brought to you and sponsored in part by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture, and Chinese Medicine. Coming up toward the bottom of the hour, we're going to talk to Mark Hampton, the Honey Badger, Parker Conservatives. He's the vice chair candidate for the Colorado Republican Party election that's going to be on Monday. That position came open after the previous chair, who was sort of a Britta Horn hand pick person, resigned in disgust at her leadership. But that election is just, it's like the Titanic, right? It's like steering right for the iceberg. And Mark has come up with numerous requests and proposals to avoid the iceberg before the whole thing crashes and burns. But he'll be joining us toward the bottom of the hour. I wanted to talk again a little bit because there's developments going on the Epstein thing. So today, Trump did a couple of, as Trump does sometimes, sort of differing kinds of things. On the one hand, he basically trashed his supporter, which is not going over well, saying, hey, look, if they believe, you know, this is just like the Russia hoax, this is just like this, this is just like that, and if they don't support me, then I don't want them anyway. That was really not a wise thing to say. There are a ton of people out there who are pointing out that they lost jobs, they lost friends, they lost all kinds of stuff because of their support for Trump. And even Laura Loomer is pointing out, and she's, I think, one of the staunchest Trump supporters there is out there, saying, hey, look, it's not a hoax. Ghislaine Maxwell is in prison. Jeffrey Epstein did time, although it was house arrest. He was indicted and was, you know, died, however he died, in prison. This is not a hoax, right? There's something real going on here. General Flynn, Steve Bannon, I mean, basically everybody is calling on Trump to handle this differently. And then he released through John Solomon. And some say that he uses John Solomon in Just the News. Solomon was a former editor of the Hill website, that he uses Solomon, to kind of as a delaying tactic, saying he's going to release this, he's going to release that. And John Solomon puts it out and then it takes forever to get released. But he said to John Solomon, apparently, that he is open to this special prosecutor who's going to investigate the weaponization of the FBI and the DOJ. And that if he finds something about Epstein, then he could look into that too. So it's somewhat mixed messaging from the president today. But I think that Charlene is posting something. What has she got? Oh, this is nice attempt, damage control. Remember this tough guy, John Durham, highly anticipated by Trump supporters, but produced only a final report in May of 2023, criticizing the FBI and one guilty plea. You know, it's try harder. I agree. For Trump to say, okay, maybe we'll have a special prosecutor. To me, there's a couple of ways of looking at this. One, either there is stuff in the volumes of information, the Epstein case, that if it was released is more painful to Trump than what he's going through right now. I mean, his approval ratings have hit a record low. And Quinnipiac poll, the majority of people, Republicans and Democrats actually, don't believe that there's nothing in the Epstein file. I mean, he's taken a hit on this. And it's got to be pretty painful. So either whatever is in there somewhere is worse than what he's going through now, or, and this is the thing about Donald Trump, love him or hate him, is it's also possible, in my opinion, and if you disagree, feel free to weigh in, that he's just being Trump, right? And he's like, look, I decided not to release it, and screw anyone who doesn't agree with me. I've got other stuff I need to do. That's also certainly possible. I think, though, General Flynn had a post that kind of summed up how I feel about that. It's like, you know, look, we can tell we're being gaslit. We can tell when you try to say there's nothing there, clearly there's something there. People, you know, Epstein, Maxwell, she's in prison over this, right? Something is there. What all of the somethings are, we don't know, but don't try to tell us there's nothing there. And then he said, and we get that you've done a ton of great stuff as president. We get you got shot, you know, you nearly died. You could have died. And you didn't need to do that, right? You didn't need to run for president again. You nearly died. Your family has been through hell. You have been through hell. You've been dragged through the mud yourself. We get that you have done a lot of great things, that you went through a lot. We get that you have earned our trust and our support. We get that you're doing a lot of great things as president. But this is bad, what you're doing here. This is bad to try to tell us that there's nothing there. After having promised that you were going to release it all, after having Pam Bondi come out and say, I've got tons of stuff, it's shocking, I'm going to release it. After having Kash Patel and Dan Bongino say, we're going to release that. And then to come out now and say there's nothing there, and then to try to wiggle around it saying, well, it was made up by Obama and Biden. This is what I would say. If I were Trump, I would convene my key people and say, okay, guys, I would do a 180. I would say, this is not worth the damage that it's doing to my administration and what we want to accomplish. I would say, we're going to put links to every document. We're going to release everything. If we got to redact names, we got to redact names, but we're going to put it all out there. And I would come out and I would tell people, okay, we're going to do this. We're not going to do it tomorrow because this kind of thing takes time. We want to make sure we have everything. And we get, as Tom Fitton says, look, this isn't a bad solution either. Let Judicial Watch put in the FOIA request, because part of the problem is you do have grand jury transcripts. You do have sealed court stuff, right? And the Trump administration can't force the court to unseal that. But what Trump needs to do is come out there and point out, okay, here's what I have, here's what I can release, and here's where it is. And if you want to find the other stuff, here's where that is. And if you want to FOIA this judge, here it is. Here's a FOIA form if you want, right? And tell us where you can find the rest. Because it's the two-tier justice system. It's just one of the biggest things that we elected Trump for is so that we could trust government again. And all of a sudden, you have a case that involves rich, powerful people. And it certainly looks as if, you know, look what they did to Sean Combs. I mean, they dragged him through the mud. Look what they've done in other cases. Even look what they've done to Trump himself. And all of a sudden now we're told that there's nothing there. They need to deal with this. Charlene says, like, send more weapons to Ukraine. Now he's done a 180 on MAGA, more bombing in Syria. DOJ has all the info they need to prosecute. She's putting another tweet thing. Time for prosecutions, no shortage of witnesses. JP Morgan Chase paid $290 million to victims. The Epstein Victims Compensation Program, $121 million to over $135 million. The U.S. Virgin Islands Estate, $105 million. The Deutsche Bank, $75 million to accusers. Dershowitz came out, who was, the timeline. So back in like 2005 in Florida, there was the original case that came forward, right? Where a 14-year-old girl came forward and claimed she was attacked, molested by Epstein. They investigated and a dream team came down. Feds got involved. All kinds of people got involved. This is when apparently the prosecutor made the comment that he was told he had to keep hands off because Epstein was a foreign asset. That guy's testimony or deposition is someplace that could be released. Dershowitz was his lawyer then. He gets a sweetheart deal, including a they can't prosecute him again kind of case, right? So then fast forward to 2019, the Me Too movement, things have changed. The Miami Herald did a series of great investigative stories talking about the sweetheart deal. All of these rumors are coming up, possible connections with powerful, rich people. And so then in 2019, the Democrat administration, they charge him again. He's indicted this time with sex trafficking. And then they also prosecute Ghislaine Maxwell. In and around all of this, you know, so Dershowitz is now saying this. And again, I think people play word games, right? When they came out and said there's no client list, I think they're playing word games. And believe me, that's not unusual for cops or lawyers to do when they don't want to release information. They say there's no client list. Well, that means there was no list that said my clients for sex trafficking and then a list of names and email addresses, right? I'm pretty sure, no, that probably doesn't exist. Alan Dershowitz initially said he saw the client list. Then he kind of took it back and he clarified. This I find believable. Dershowitz said what I was talking about were the names, and I think he said there were 150 of them, that some of the girls had come forward with, the women that were, I guess they weren't women, they were girls, which is a whole problem, that the girl names the girls said that they were involved sexually with, right? And he's saying, why do we not release those names? I think Trump has implied that it's not clear which of those names are true, which isn't true. I get that. But you'd think, you know, there could be a way to work with that, right? And you also, Dershowitz said, so that's the list he was talking about. Dershowitz also said, and this I don't find believable, he said, there's no evidence, and he said, certainly Epstein would have mentioned it to me if he was a foreign intelligence asset, because that would have helped him get a good plea deal. Well, I don't know how he gets a better plea deal than what he got, right? They had all kinds of victims there, and he ends up pleading guilty, I think, to just a couple of charges, solicitation for prostitution, right? And essentially he gets house arrest. He gets basically nothing, right? They don't take any of his assets, nothing. And he gets a deal that says they're not going to prosecute him. So I don't buy that. And again, if you're Epstein, it's not like... I guess that's a, pardon my language, but a Trump card you want to hang on to. So he got a pretty good sweetheart deal, right? So I don't know what Dershowitz was talking about there. But even Dershowitz is saying they need to do something. The rollout on this has been horrible. Trump administration is usually pretty adept, and not even adept, they're brilliant sometimes. I mean, think back to the campaign with the trash truck and all that kind of stuff. This couldn't have been handled worse. I don't know why he's handling it so badly. But I think they need to change, and they need to, like I said, they need to release links to all of the documents that are out there and just do like they did with the JFK stuff. Say, knock yourselves out. Here are the links that we have. Here's what you want to do with everything. And then Charlene says, Dershowitz is covering the criminals in the most lawyerly way. Don't release the victims list. They'll be killed. Like the one that got hit by the bus lived and posted that she was not suicidal. Yeah. Well, you know, I guess you don't need to even say the victim's names. You don't need to say their names. You can just say, redact their names. And you could just say, you know, here are the names of the people, you know, here are the names that they did. Because I'm going to say this. Somewhere in all of this investigating, the lawyers, the prosecutors, somebody somewhere made, because that's how these things work, right? Some effort to distinguish between whether the girls' claims were credible regarding this person or that person, or whether the girls' claims were not credible. Here's how you would determine that. In the depositions, they'd say, you know, well, who did you have sex with? And they would say, well, this guy. And I, you know, here's his name, right? I think in some of the cases, they may not have known the names. I don't know. But they would say, you know, if they gave a name, they would say, well, when was it? Where was it? What did you do? Et cetera, et cetera. They're trying to prove the elements of a crime, right? So they would have more information. The investigators and the prosecutors, they don't just have this random list of like, oh, well, we never looked into it. I think at some point they looked into it. And at some point they certainly could still look into it, right? So to say, oh, we don't want to release it because there could be names on there that didn't have anything to do with it. It's like, well, let's figure that out, right? And if he thinks some of it's a hoax, well, go ahead and release it and say, well, what parts do you think that Comey and Brennan and Obama and Biden made up, right? Because here's the thing. And one other thing, well, there's a bunch of other things I want to say. I think you want to take a look at the Democrats on this. And They are, I have to say, I think handling this well, their websites and things like that, like Politico, places like that are kind of fueling it, right? But what they're fueling is the MAGA feud, because keep in mind, Obama could have released the Jeffrey Epstein case. Biden could have released the files, right? So there's stuff in there, I believe, that they didn't want out also, right? So, which makes everybody, excuse me, even more suspicious. Charlene says, yeah, release just the clients. Exactly. Just release the clients. And then I think release other stuff that came out in the investigation, right? One of the big questions is where did Jeffrey Epstein get all of his money? Because he didn't just have like a little bit of money, he had a lot of money. What other questions, or what was his connection in the Iran-Contra thing, right? Apparently, according to Mike Benz, there are documents from other investigations that show he was helping funnel money to help fund the Iran-Contra stuff, that he was at one time, I guess, living, the State Department was letting him live in some penthouse in New York that they had, and he apparently got in trouble because he was subleasing it, right? Well, what was that about, right? I mean, the State Department doesn't just lease stuff to guys who teach math at a school. So there's so many questions there. And just release those documents, you know, and provide links to it. I don't think it would be that hard. Here's what I think may be going on here. I think that Jeffrey Epstein was sort of a fixer slash informant kind of guy, right? You read about, who was that? Molly Bloom, was that her name? She did high stakes gambling. They made a movie about it, but she did high stakes gambling things, right? And in so doing, she would fix stuff. I think rich and powerful people, I am Chuck's fixer. So that tells you our extent of influence. I don't have a fixer, actually. I just do stuff myself. But I think rich and powerful people have a fixer. If you want to figure out how to funnel money to Iran-Contra people, well, you call Jeffrey Epstein. If you have some tax issues and you want to figure out, well, where can I put my money, you know, in the U.S. Virgin Islands or wherever, how can I bundle it? What can I do? Not illegally, even, I'm saying, but what are some clever ways to do that? You call Jeffrey Epstein. If you're a rich, powerful person from anywhere in the world and you want to party on a weekend, what do? You call Jeffrey Epstein, right? If you want to participate in orgies and you want to, you know, nobody to know about it, and you don't want to have a parade of people walking in and out of your New York penthouse, well, what do? You call Jeffrey Epstein and you fly in a private plane where the pilot doesn't keep logs and you go to his island, right? I think that's what Jeffrey Epstein did. I don't think, though, that Jeffrey Epstein blackmailed these people, because that would hurt his business model, right? His business model was he was the fixer. He was the go-to guy. You wanted any number of things done, you went to Jeffrey Epstein. Probably some of those things legal, some of those things not so legal. So why would he blackmail people? I think that the people probably paid him directly for that. And that's just say that you're an intelligence agency like the CIA. You've already had connections with Jeffrey Epstein. Let's say you're a foreign intelligence agency, any foreign intelligence agency. And you know, you want to kind of keep tabs on things. So you want to know, well, you know, what did that high profile person do, or whatever, right? Then Jeffrey Epstein becomes a confidential informant. The FBI, just for basic criminal drug case confidential informants, pays a ton of money to confidential informants, right? So who knows what kind of money they would pay to somebody like Jeffrey Epstein. So I think there was that too, that he was being paid, I don't know, our tax dollars to a certain extent for that information. That's what I think the deal is. And I think that the stick is what President Trump talks about, not credible stuff. It's, you know, it's just a mess and people could be hurt. Jeffrey Epstein probably fixed a lot of things for a lot of people. Some of it probably sexually related. We know that. Some of it maybe not. And I can see Trump, you got to be careful about who gets dragged into it. But I guess I'm going to say, you know what? You lay down with the devil, right? Or, you know, this is what you can expect. If you're doing business with Jeffrey Epstein, particularly after the 2005, 2006 Florida situation, Florida convictions or plea bargains, then, you know, you don't get to turn around and say, oh, I had no idea, right? Because everybody else had an idea. All you had to do was read the newspaper. I'm going to make a prediction. And if you know, again, and Charlene, feel free to weigh in on this if you want to, if you want to unmute yourself. But I'm going to predict that Trump does do a 180 on this. And maybe he's using John Solomon to ease into it, to kind of say, okay, but here's the thing. He better not be gaslighting us about that. He needs to, I believe, come straight out and say, here's what I'm going to do. Here's what I'm going to release. I think he can maybe cover himself by saying, look, we've looked at it. There's not much there. You're going to be disappointed, but fine. Go ahead and, as I said, knock yourself out and look at it. Look at all of it and hear all the links. We're going to put it all together. I predict he's going to do that at some point. I don't know. Charlene, hey, what do you think?
Yeah, Julie, I think that at this point, I think it's a blackmail operation, and the people in high places were blackmailed either knowingly or unknowingly. And they use that information to get certain policies enacted and certain deals done to promote a new world order or a one world government, and or just to keep themselves in power, you know, the elite in power, to keep that balance of power in their hands. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
And not get like 100 MAGA congressmen elected. And so they had to keep their rhinos in power and keep their Democrats in power. And so they used Epstein to get information that would, you know, corrupting information or films, tapes, videos, and flight logs. And they created an island that was known to have all that corruption, so that if you visited it, then you were automatically considered you were able to be blackmailed if you even visited that island.
You know, and I gotta, maybe yes, maybe no, Charlene, I'm gonna Peter Boyle said a great column that is going to be coming out in the newspaper, and I'm going to compare because there are parallels. Do you remember many years ago Denver Players and Sugar? Do you remember that? Sugar and Players? That was okay. So at the time it came out because there were like these four brothels being run in downtown Denver. Uh-huh. And it came out, Scotty Ewing was a guy, and to make a long story short, then Mayor-elect Michael Hancock was allegedly one of the clients. Right. And uh-huh. there were other powerful people there, John, and these people, they had parties and they had this and that. And it seems like some people, I think, were probably participating in the actual illegal prostitution. Other people were just partying and looked the other way. And so I think what I'm saying is, I think all of the above can be true. I think that there might have been some people being actively blackmailed, some people being actively set up. But I think other people, you didn't have to blackmail them, right? If you went and had a good time with Jeffrey Epstein, and all of a sudden Jeffrey Epstein's calling and saying, hey, I don't know if you've thought about voting this way. I mean, you don't have to blackmail them.
Exactly. Yeah. And so at this point, I think Trump is totally captured because someone said, the Epstein Files is like the Rosetta Stone of Western civilization right now. It is how our Western civilization is working through this type of corruption and blackmail. And people at the top are running blackmail rings. I mean, are running sexual prostitution rings. They're running slave traffic. They're running drug cartels. They can put a stop to those things, but they don't. So they're benefiting from it. And so if you expose it, you really expose our naive view of how the world works. It's just like exposing elections. It's like we all naively think that our vote is counted individually and there's no corruption in the election system. So that's why that can't be exposed.
It's a red pill on steroids kind of thing is what you're saying.
It's going to be big names, you know, like big bankers. And so at this point, Trump knows it's going to bring down the whole house of cards, including the Republicans, including people that fund his campaign. And he's like, I'm captured. He's also captured in sending more arms to Ukraine. He's allowing Syria, Israel with our bombs to bomb Syria again. And so he's totally capitulated, in my opinion. And at this point, I think he needs to blink twice and let us know that he's captured, because he certainly can't go up.
You know, Charlene, and I think you're right. At the very least, he needs to explain. He needs to quit trying to tell us that there's nothing there. There's nothing to see here. Right. And he needs to either do something and come out and say, look, I don't know. I would even say he needs to blink twice and just say, okay, I'm releasing it. Here are the links to the documents. And then go ahead and say, you know, because my guess would be that it's not going to be all totally real anyway. I mean, everybody's had plenty of time to purge a lot of stuff out of there, right? So,
if they redact the names, that's just worthless. And so, I mean, all Trump can do at this point, but now he's in too deep, but he changes. Right. 180 every day. So it's like, I don't really see him anymore, but he's in so deep now that if he came out and said, listen, this is going to bring down the whole house of cards. And, you know, it's corrupt. And I'm just not ready to bring down the whole house of cards. And then that way, the ones that were blackmailed and the ones doing the blackmail, which I think are the intelligence agencies doing they'll get off. Because nobody's going to be revealed, and we can just, you know.
No. Okay. to kind of just do that. So, yeah, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. Hey, listen, Charlene, we're going to switch gears. I see Mark Hamden is here. Thank you. Thank you for all. I mean, you've done a good job on this, too. So thank you. Hey, and appreciate the song. We'll talk about that later.
Well, you know, I've been such a huge Trump supporter. I mean, Trump could never do any wrong. And really what got me, Julie, if I just can have a minute, is when he was sitting with Bibi and he said, we're going to bulldoze that rubble in Gaza and we're going to build high rises. And then I thought, this has all been a real estate deal. That's what it's about. And that just cut me to the core. I'm like, that's just the most inhumane thing he could say. I mean, the people weren't even buried yet. And so that's when I started questioning him. And now this latest, I feel he's completely captured. Okay, thanks.
Okay, thank you, Charlene. Thank you. Hey, going to switch gears here because I see Mark Hamden is here. Mark Hamden, grassroots warrior, Honey Badger Report, Parker Conservatives, and current chair for Colorado Republican Party vice chair. The election to be held Monday. Hey, Greg, it's just me today. Chuck has another appointment, but thank you for your time. Appreciate it.
Hey, no problem, Julie. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. You know, before at the top of the show, I kind of teased this saying, it's kind of like Chair Britta Horn is like the captain of the Titanic and the election is this giant iceberg. And she is, no matter what everyone is saying, steering the Republican Party Titanic straight into the iceberg. And you wrote a great letter saying, please, you know,
there's a lot of things in business that I've learned over the years. And early on, I used to try to jam things through too, until I had some mentors come up to me that were CEOs at the time and said, Mark, sometimes it's best to take a step back. Yeah, people might talk about, you know, you weren't prepared and you had the pullback and things like that. You're going to have to deal with that, but you have to think about the organization. Huh? And it's okay to tell everybody, hey, you know what? I'd like to move forward, but I just don't think we're quite prepared. And the better thing to do is to be pragmatic and say, we're going to pause, we're going to reassemble, get our ducks in a row, and then we're going to go forward.
Right.
And that was the whole gist of my letter. It's not blaming or anything like that. I can see this because as I've coached so many executives that This is a pitfall that you see a lot, and it's not good because basically you come away, if the whole thing fails, with egg on your face, especially when people were telling you, hey, let's just pump the brake a minute and take a pause. And like, that's why I said, hey, I'm one of the candidates. I'm okay with that.
Right.
You know, I don't know if Richard is. I would hope he would be. He may not be. I don't know. But I'm trying to think of the membership themselves.
Right.
Because we've talked to a lot of them, and a lot of them just don't want to have an online meeting. Right. They want to vote in person.
Right.
They truly feel that. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. My dogs are going nuts.
No worries. Actually, we can't hear them. So your microphone is good. We have that sometimes too.
So that's all I was trying to get across to them is, hey, let's just pump the brakes. I'm good with it.
Right.
You know, it's just a couple months and they could be saying, hey, well, that's going to give you more time to try to get the votes. Well, of course, I'm going to use that time to do that. Yeah,
and so will Richard Holtorf. I mean,
yeah,
it's,
but so is he. Right. So, but we'll wait and see. I don't know.
Well,
I just don't know.
For folks who aren't totally up to speed, and so the election is going to be on Zoom only. So we're talking about roughly 500 people are going to be trying to join a Zoom meeting, and they have to be. And this was at their insistence, right? They hated it when Dave Williams tried to do this, and so at their insistence, everyone has to be credentialed in. So you have to show some form of ID or a license, right? And then somebody has to verify that against the list. This is all on Zoom with internet connections and people going in and out. And I've sat in on enough I mean, if this were being run by a bunch of 12-year-olds, it could probably go smoothly. But this is being run by a bunch of people like my age, you know, have no clue what to do. And I've sat in enough of these where people, it's a nightmare, right? The technology is complicated for a lot of people like myself. And so there are a lot, like you said, they didn't want to have it just on Zoom. They wanted to have it in person. The credentialing itself, the one time they tried to do it with Dave, took hours, right? Yes. The meeting. So they're going to be asking people to log in, get credentialed, then sit there for hours, have their computer not turn off, have their cell phone not die. I mean, it's just a disaster. Now we go through the problem, and you pointed this out in your letter. There's something in the Republican Party called the Red Book, and that is the list of all of the 500 Central Committee members who are going to get to vote. I'm one of them. Chuck's one of them. Well, guess what? Chuck has never received an email from the Republican Party concerning state Central Committee members. He did not receive an email informing him of this meeting, right? He's emailed them numerous times saying, I'm not getting your emails. So how can you even trust that the names that are going to be credentialed in are the right people in the first place in what could be a very tight vote?
Right. And the people that deserve a vote, because what we're finding out as we're making calls is there are people that just happen to know. We call out to, you know, we called one of our people called to Castillo County and found out the vice chair and secretary has changed. So we don't have any contact information for them. And I would have to assume since they're not on this list, they didn't get the call to the meeting. There was a person in Arapahoe that happened to. So, and that's just a couple that, you know, we know that they didn't have Douglas County up to speed. I know that's been a quick one, but you know, they had Jeff Toberg on the list and he moved away. So that created an opening and we have a person filling that. So there's gotta be a mechanism that sending it out every week isn't really practical from a business standpoint, but they could put this in a drive, a live drive that, because I don't have access on the state GOP site, but I could see where there's something that people can log in. Right. Okay. And I'm guessing it's the chairs. I have no idea who it is that can log in, but they could put it someplace that's secure. So if you needed a new list and you were one of the right people, you could go in, get it, and as it's changed, Alex or whoever's in charge of updating that, it's always live up to that date or whoever updated it last.
Well, and you could, and you simply do that. I mean, when you have elections, it's kind of like, okay, you have to be registered by this day, right? Mm-hmm. So you can make a cutoff day. You could say by this time, this is our central committee list as of this time, right?
Right.
And like you said, or say, this is a list as of this day. You just make it clear that it's as of this day, because it seems to me that as a candidate, you should be able to, you want to be able to verify the election results. So you want to be able to know, okay, so wait, so Julie Bonnywell's voting. Is she really an SEC member or is she not?
Exactly.
Right?
Or yeah,
Chuck
that credentialing.
Bonnywell,
yeah, that
Chuck
credentialing
Bonnywell,
list, right. since it's drives off the Red Book list, so we now know the credentialing list is going to have flaws as well. You know, so there's people that should get a vote and don't. People that are still on the list, are they going to try to get in and vote when they shouldn't be? I don't know if people, I would hope people are upstanding and wouldn't do things like that. But, you know, we've seen goofier things, right?
Right.
You know, the other thing is the young lady, Shannon, who was the chair of the credentialing committee. I requested a credentialing list over this last weekend, and she sent me a nice email back and just said, Mark, I just want to inform you that I've stepped away due to some personal issues, and I'm no
the
longer
fact
the
that
chair.
This is going to crash and burn, I didn't want to be. No,
well, I don't know. I got to take it. She had some issues, and, you know, so they don't have a chair. So Britta's now said, just send everything to Alex. There's only so much one person can do.
Right.
And, you know, again, in business, I've seen things like this where young executives try to jam stuff down and it ends up going. And there's so much strife, as I put in the letter, within the party itself. Why would you sit there and pour gas on it when you don't have to?
Absolutely.
Yeah, are you going to take some crap for, hey, well, see, she wasn't prepared. Okay. Hey, let's give her benefit of the doubt. She stepped back. did the right thing, and we're going to have an
Correct.
in-person vote. So that's a big win. So quit throwing the rocks. This is going to be a win. This is a bigger thing, and maybe we're starting to get on track here, which ultimately, as a party, that's what we have to do. We need to get on track.
Right. Well, and you're absolutely, and that be, goes to the thing. I mean, and a little bit about credentialing. I'm friends with Peg Cage, out of the chair of the Boulder County Republican Party, and she's done credentialing stuff. And it's a nightmare. I mean, it is not, and counting the votes and validating the votes, all of that. It's not like one, two, three, right? I mean, you've got 500 people on Zoom. I mean, it is a complicated process. I mean, it's almost a profession, right?
Oh,
You don't just call your neighbor and say, "Hey, are you doing anything? You want to be the chair of the credential committee," right? And so the very fact that they had the chair step down for whatever reason, I think gives Britta a perfect example, because it's not the kind of thing that somebody can just like step into. Like I said, you call up Monday morning. And I agree with you too, because she's created a situation where no matter what happens now, people are going to question it, because we already know the list is a mess. And she's already got, as you point out in your letter, there's already an in-person slash Zoom meeting, a hybrid meeting scheduled for September 27th, right? And
Correct.
so it's like, why not just do this then? You've already got a meeting, and there's going to be a vote at that meeting. You've already got stuff set up. And in her own words, it's just the vice chair position. It doesn't really matter. So I'm sure the party could muddle along for a
Without it.
couple of months, without a vice chair.
Because if I win, they're not gonna engage me anyway. So how much worse for wear can they really be at the end of the day? So I'm hoping that there's discussions going on and they're thinking about it from a pragmatic and business standpoint and just the right thing to do. They should just step back. And yeah, they're going to get some crap for it, like I said, but at the end of the day, that is going to be better than what they'll take if they go to have it and this whole thing just kind of goes.
Oh yeah. Well, and again, common sense. Anybody who's participated in a large Zoom meeting, there's always the "Can you hear me? Can you hear me?"
Oh,
Julie,
yeah.
mute your microphone. Blah blah blah. And again, I think it just seems impractical to tell somebody, "Okay, well, you have to come on at 5:30, get credentialed in. Now you got to hang around for a couple of hours till we can start the meeting, and maybe that'll start late. Then we get a vote." And then somebody can legitimately say, "My internet connection went down. I was on for so long," et cetera, et
And
cetera.
so they needed to start the process all over again.
Yes.
And as I've talked to people in the rural areas, that's a
Yeah.
real challenge for them is internet. A lot of people, to your point, try doing it on this little deal.
Yeah.
And they don't have a place to plug in wherever they're at, that's a problem. So
Right.
there's just all kinds of little ticky-tacky things that can come up. And I don't know. We'll see what goes on.
The
And
biggest, as I said, is I think the fact that the credentialing chair resigned. That's again, and it's
just another
Wednesday.
person resigning.
Yeah, exactly. Well, what are you, so meanwhile, though, I think any word on what are you hearing for folks out there? And like you said, I think Britta had promised unity, and I know maybe you don't want to attack her, so I'll attack her. She had promised unity. We are certainly not seeing that. The party seems to be, at least if even if you hated Dave Williams, at least there was a direction, and the party was traveling in that direction. The party doesn't seem to be going anywhere now, and it seems to me there's more fighting than ever over like nothing, even really.
Well, I got another town hall tonight at 7 o'clock, so we've had two. And anybody that's an SEC member that's out there and you want to log in, we had a Heidi Ganahl was on my call on Monday night, and a couple other people. Natalie Tennant was on. I was like, I didn't know until the end, but whatever.
Well, that's
But
it.
to your point, God, I lost my train.
Well, about the divisiveness and
But the divisiveness in it doesn't need to be like that. As I've said, we can either continue to go down this path or we don't. And just because you sit around and say unity, unity, unity 1,000 times, you don't get unity.
right.
Okay? You get unity by actions, not words. Actions is what brings unity.
Yeah.
And actions is not having a barbecue for all of us to get together and kumbaya. That's not unity. That's a social gathering. Unity is when you look at your, when you're building your committees and things like that, is getting balance
right
in that from different perspectives. You take a look at what Trump did. We got RFK in there, a lifelong Democrat, but he looked at it. We got Kristi Noem. We got, you know, there's all these different people that he put in there. And, you know, when you look at it, it's like, you know, he was trying to take a somewhat more balanced approach, you know, true unity. Now, did it work very well for RFK? Not so much. I mean, his whole family kind of dissed him and everything else. I get, you know, it's kind of a bad deal for me because I think he's doing a great job being in the food industry. I think he's doing phenomenal job.
Yeah.
You know, and as far as I'm concerned, he's not moving fast enough. There's so much we need to do in our food, the food industry, to clean up our food. But that's what I don't see Britta doing is actions speak louder than words. When all you say is unity, 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 what people are hearing is fealty and the bending of the knee.
Right.
Because you're just going to have to agree with me that these people that I've put into these committees have your best interest.
Right.
Well, we know they don't.
And we know that's why the previous vice chair resigned, is because they told him he couldn't talk. It's like, that's now he's the vice chair. He was elected by the people. And so you could maybe say, I don't agree with them. Or you could say, hey, don't put that out on Republican Party stationery or whatever. But to say, no, you can't talk, it's kind of like that's not unifying either. So
no, it's not. And Daryl Phelan was on our call Monday night as well, had a lot of great questions. And I was so happy to see that he was on there. He asked a bunch of questions and I extended, you know, to him. I know he wrote down my phone number. I told him, I said, hey, if you get a chance, give me a call. We have somewhat similar backgrounds, both in the restaurant industry and both have been around restaurants a long time. So we probably have more in common than what people would think.
So, well, listen, I will let you hopefully keep us posted on what happens on that. And I know you're going to be back. Ron Hanks and Anna Ferguson are filling in for us on Monday
night or Monday afternoon. Yeah.
Monday afternoon at 3:00. So that should be pretty interesting, too. So keep us posted on what happens. OK, hopefully she'll listen to reason, but not holding my breath.
Well, anything's possible, but I think I'll go out and buy a lotto ticket.
Mark, thank you very much, and good luck with the race, too.
All right. Tell Chuck hi for me.
I will there. Mark Hamden, everybody. Hopefully, to me, you know, I obviously disagree a lot with a lot of things about Britta Horn, but this whole election has turned into a mess. You know, when your credentialing chair resigns just days before, and I mean, and that's arguably the most, you know, important role going on there that day, resigns, it's very complicated. And I've sat through numerous of these votes, and it's always a mess. Even everybody with the best intentions, even when everybody is all on board with their intentions, it's a mess. And so to have going in with this, so hopefully she'll postpone it. Again, not holding my breath. Hey, wanted to real quickly before we wrap up talk about something else. So today it was announced. So Dominion was suing Salem Radio and former KNUS radio talk show host Randy Corcoran, who's the most amazing, wonderful guy. We love Randy. Was suing him over the whole Eric Coomer, you know, Dominion election system thing. Right? They have apparently settled the lawsuit. As always in settlements, the details are not released, but this is interesting. Each side has agreed to pay their own attorney fees and costs. And I think we should look at this as good news because and I predicted this actually, after Mike Lindell basically won that defamation suit with Eric Coomer. Remember, the mainstream media tried to pretend like he lost because he was found, they said he was guilty of 2 counts of defamation, there was numerous other ones that they said weren't defamatory. And they found that his main company, MyPillow, was not guilty of anything. And even though Coomer had been asking for like roughly $62 million, they only gave him $3 million, which is going to barely cover the cost of the lawyer's fees, right? If you're the law firm, you're like, we just lost big on this. And I predicted at that time that we were going to start to see settlements, right? And I think this is good. So I think they realize that people have been red pilled since all of that first broke before the 2020 election and or after in the wake of that. And people no longer just blindly assume that Colorado has the gold standard system, right? And so I think it's very good that that lawsuit was settled. And I think, and hopefully it'll allow people like Randy to move on. Mike Lindell is appealing, saying, I don't even have to appeal that. But again, it's just another, example of gaslighting where the corporate media tries to say, oh, he lost. He didn't lose. If you were the lawyers, and any lawyer in that case would be like, if you wanted to get $52 million, and all you got was $3 million and you lost the majority of the claims, that doesn't bode well for the numerous other lawsuits they have. So I think we'll continue to see settlements on that whole thing. And again, people have been red-pilled, right? People don't say, when former Secretary of State Wayne Williams tries to say, oh, we have the gold standard, people are like, no, we don't. I mean, how can we? We have Jenna Griswold sending postcards out to 40,000 illegal immigrants telling them to vote in the election, right? That's not gold standard. So that's the latest on that. Was there anything? That was kind of all I had today. I might wrap up a little bit early. As I said, we're kind of wrapping things up at the paper. We're going to have, as I said, on Fridays, just to kind of bring everybody up to date, Darcy's filling in for us. Oh, wait, Jacob has his hand raised. Jacob, we got plenty of time then. Go ahead, sir.
I don't need plenty of time. I just wanted to make a comment on this Epstein Files deal.
Yeah.
If Pam Bondi is forced to resign, nobody's going to want to work for Trump because, that he's not loyal to anybody. And we're going to end up with a guy like Bill Barr again. And then when Kash Patel can't work with the new Bill Barr type of guy, he's going to resign and we're going to end up with a Christopher Reagan. Not him particularly, but somebody like him.
No, I agree with you. I think Pam Bondi, I'll say this, is probably only doing what the Trump administration is telling her to do, right? I don't think Pam Bondi, I don't think Trump is calling her saying, Pam, release the files. And she's going, no, Mr. President, no. I don't think she's going to be fired. And I agree with you. I think that it would be, I know there are a lot of people who don't like Pam Bondi and maybe she should be fired for other reasons, but I don't think over this.
No, I can't remember her name, but the lady that had that terrible question on the first debate with Trump, she asked him if he was a rapist or something. I can't remember her name.
Yeah.
She's got her own. She doesn't like Pam Bondi. Well, but Pam Bondi isn't running the show. There's another guy named Tom something, according to Bill O'Reilly, that's running the show. So I don't know why they got it up.
As Barney says, Bondi is a knucklehead. Yes. I mean, Pam Bondi couldn't have handled it worse, right? Now, I don't know how involved the Trump administration was in that sort of debacle where she came out and said, here's a binder full of names, right? And I don't know how involved they were on her, spending all their time, doing interviews, talking about how she was going to release all this stuff. And now says she's not. And maybe I'll give her, Charlene has her theories too, which could be right on, maybe Pam Bondi had every intent of releasing it. And then somebody else told her, no, we're not going to release it. And now, she's taking all the arrows for that. So I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know if I emailed it to you, but I do have the list of names that they did release. The flight logs and everything, that's up there.
Right, right.
Anybody can look at it. Well, if that's what she had in her binder, that's what she had in her binder. But there's no reason to bang her over the head with all this. So,
no.
But, okay.
Okay, bye. Thank you. Although I do agree with Barney that she is indeed a knucklehead. And Charlene says she's a Lindsey Graham girl. Yes. But the handling of it was bad. I suspect she probably handled the initial stuff on her own. But I think now somebody's running things. And I hope, and I do, I'm going to continue my predictions. We'll see if I'm right. I'm going to continue to predict that Trump is going to change his mind on this. I think at some point he's going to realize it's not going away. And I don't know that we're going to ever get everything, but I think that we're going to have people not telling us anymore that there's nothing there. So we should all go away. And I don't think he's going to post anymore that his supporters, he doesn't like them anymore either. I don't think that's helpful to anybody. So, yes. Oh, go ahead, Barney.
Hey, real quick. So the whole Epstein list, it's really, I know Peter had come on with Jeff and Billy and said that, we had the Denver players. Those were prostitutes in that age. I don't agree. I think that it's a nasty, I don't like it, but we're talking about underage girls here. I want to know if Tom Hanks was on the island. I think it's gross. I think we want to know because I don't want to patronize him in one bit. And we need to have shame in our society, for Christ's sake. If you're a puke, it doesn't matter. If your wife wants to forgive you, go right ahead. But it's illegal to have sex with somebody under 18. Period. Yes. End of story. Even if you're in a foreign country, if you're an American, it's illegal. So we don't care about your sob stories and if your life gets ruined. We want to know who they are. And if we can't, if we're too stupid to decide that, oh, well, somebody was having lunch with Epstein and we can't figure out the difference, that's our problem. Trust me, you release it, we'll figure it out. And Trump has to release it. Yeah. But there are enough people been out of shape about this that it has to be done. And like I said, it's not because we're do-gooders. We want to know who the pukes are in our society. That's it. End of story. And Bondi is a jackass. Knucklehead, whatever. Sorry, Jason. Don't give a damn if she resigns or not. They'll find another jackass. God almighty.
All right,
we
had Bill
Barr. Hey, we survived Bill Barr. That stupid son of a bitch. Wow. Okay, good luck with the, good luck with Reb. He does love you, Julie.
Okay, he's just thank you.
Being a little shithead, that's all.
All right, thank you, Barney. Hey, and so just to finish, so Darcy's filling in for us on Fridays for a while. She'll be here on Friday. It should be fun on Monday. You're going to have Ron Hanks and Anna Ferguson are going to fill in for us, and Mark Hamden's going to be their guest, and I don't know what else they have planned, but I know they're working hard on it. So in the meantime, thank you to the great guys at BBS. Thank you to everybody on Zoom, and we will see you soon, and be sure to tune in for Darcy and Ron and Anna. See y'all later.